Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday, July 9th, 2020. Stephen St. John and Todd Lebo filling in for Nate Bucati. Jake Katera is here as well. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We appreciate it. It's Thursday. Could be raining pretty soon. Probably will start raining between now and the time we talked to Gary Lezak just before 8 o'clock. It was supposed to get really bad, but things have, or at least the forecast has improved a little bit over the past hour or so. Because when I went to bed, they were expecting things to get pretty rough this morning. Lindsey Anderson has been tweeting out early this morning, a couple of hours ago. She said there was a line of thunderstorms headed our way and had a potential producing very strong, damaging wind gusts. Heavy rain and lightning are likely too. And so that was just 3 hours ago or so, and then she just updated it within the last 45 minutes and says that the thunderstorms are weakening and no longer severe, but lingering showers and embedded thunderstorms will continue through the mid-morning hours. So it's close, but
don't tell that
like
to some of the trees
be.
That I see that are down on on Twitter here around Kansas City. There's been some wind. It's very breezy out here right now. Looks like in let me see where this says this picture is, but there's been some winds go through. It's Johnson
Could've
County,
worse
it's raining. A little west of us right now, it's raining. But I think you mispronounced our meteorologist's name. Did you say Lezak or Lozak?
Lozak.
I think it's Lozak, we learned yesterday.
I pronounce it Lindsey Anderson.
You know what? That's probably the best way to do it.
Right. Right, because she tweets about the weather, so...
That's good.
Gary was tweeting, driving around in his convertible with his dogs last night. So,
that's something.
It's getting sushi, man.
Got to get it. Sushi's not going to come to you.
No, it's not.
Go get it.
Go get that sushi.
Well, it actually could.
Oh, well. Yeah, maybe he's not aware of how that works yet.
I was going to say, it absolutely could come to you, but...
You're telling me there's a mechanism in place where you can... Tell someone you want some food, and they will bring it to you.
Huh? Since when?
I like that.
Is this some new thing?
Well, sushi's not going to come to you. Yeah, well.
Yeah, I got a tree down here in South Kansas City. Big branch. So mature trees are dangerous at this time when the winds are going like this. There was definitely wet pavement as I was driving in, but did not drive through any precipitation. But I feel like it's going to rain here very soon.
All right, so did you guys watch the MLS is back, or did you watch any of the Royals' inter-squad game, or did you watch Game 3 of the 1980 ALCS, which saw the Royals complete the sweep of the New York Yankees? Any of those things on your TV last night?
Are we working in a bubble of honesty here?
Yes.
No. I watched some of the MLS, and then I watched a few episodes of this show called Alone that we're catching up on.
Yeah,
these people go in the woods.
Buddy.
It's what I've been watching.
I got you hooked, huh?
I love it, Alone.
Or you got me hooked.
I think I got you started.
You got me hooked.
Yeah. We have a little betting thing in our house where we pick who's going to go in what order, what time they're going to quit, and why.
It's like real life Survivor.
Yeah. For real. I did not watch enough of the sports, Steven. I apologize, even knowing I was coming in here to talk to you. But I did. I watched 20 minutes or so of soccer to see what it looked like.
Break it down. What does it look
interesting?
Like?
I've been there to that facility to cover Sporting KC. I guess they called it spring training, but it was winter. Preseason training several years ago.
Pre-season.
So I was having deja vus. Like, I think that's right in the little place where we were standing
on the
main field.
Yep.
Or whatever it was. It's a weird-looking angle, right? Because there's not...
It's not set up for television broadcast.
Right. The camera's a bit high, and it's a bit close. You get that in some of these stadiums around the world where
felt
you're
like I was playing FIFA.
Yeah, it's like I got a weird view of this thing, and it is weird. Like I've watched quite a bit of soccer over the past month or so. Most of these stadiums over in Europe, they have some ambient sound kind of pumped in, some crowd noise, and they didn't have any of that on this broadcast. And it was heard yeah. all of the screaming and
foul
talking,
language, and
all of the stuff on the which is fun.
Yeah.
But it's not natural. It's not how we're used to watching
games. And that's what they did when they started the Bundesliga, which was the first league back. That's how they had it. And then they figured out this is weird, and they started pumping in ambient noise. And then the Premier League started 2 weeks ago, and they did that. And then I was kind of surprised when the MLS didn't do that. Because for me, it's a less distracting, I guess. It's just, for me, having no sound is distracting to me. It's odd. It feels weird.
Yeah,
and then when there's that ambient noise of the crowd, it's kind of, you kind of get caught up and not paying attention to the crowd not being there.
When this thing first started, the pandemic, and when Italy was still trying to play, they played maybe 2 weeks with no fans, and it was super weird. But those were even bigger stadiums where the sound echoed around a lot. This sounds a little better than that because it's a big open field. This isn't a stadium, right? So it doesn't sound so echoey
yeah.
and weird. But it is weird to not have... It's like, you know, we've all been to practice for whatever. Soccer, baseball, basketball, football.
Chiefs practice,
anything
right.
you've been to, this is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
You know, if you've gone, this is even different. Like, if you go up to St. Joseph now, it's kind of such a deal. There's more people there, and they kind of put you far enough away. This reminded me of River
NFL
Falls.
Practices, they
the
pump
music
in music
and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they started doing that.
And there's
recently.
Always music playing because, you know, the players want to have music. This reminded me of, like, River Falls or something, you know, where there's not many people there, and you could just hear the players and coaches talking. It was weird sounding, but I'm not going to complain about it, and I'm not going to nitpick. I'm glad we have a professional sports league playing a team sport in America. And I hope that this is the beginning of something that will continue and not just the beginning of something that won't make it through to the end. We're not that far, Stephen, from having baseball. Scheduled baseball is 2 weeks from tomorrow, right? So I want to make sure those games get started, too. And I want these things to go, and I want them to be able to do this.
NBA is 20 days away, what? Like
yeah.
the 30th, I think, it's their first game?
I want these things to not only start, but continue. That's what I want to have happen. So I'm happy that there was a soccer match played last night, whether or not it didn't look perfect or the play wasn't perfect.
Yeah, it's a little rusty.
It's a little rusty.
I kind of expected that.
Absolutely.
But, you know, no friendlies, no real preseason. It was segmented out, and I think you saw that on the field. But exciting ending to the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got three goals in the game. We were talking to Carter Augustine on the program the other day, and he just thought there's going to be goals in this because he thinks that there'll be people scoring. So, I don't know. I was happy to have it on. Did you watch?
Those are two bad teams, right?
Yeah, brand new team, right? First half
yeah.
match ever for Miami.
First ever for Miami.
You know, so we're did you say we're in the honesty bubble?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you told me we were.
Do you want me to be? Are yeah, you in, or I mean, am I, in, or I, am I on I, the outside?
No,
are you
no.
like bubble boy?
You invited me in. I expect that if we're in the honesty bubble, that I want to get some honesty out of you.
No.
Yeah, there you go, Steven.
Or do you?
You watched the entire 1980 Game 3, didn't you?
No, I watched a good chunk of that, yes, because I was waiting to watch George Brett's home run off Goose Gossage, yes.
Yeah?
And because that's one of my favorite
moments ever.
It's a top five sports moment of my life.
So, how long does that trot absolutely. Take? The trot took 3 minutes.
It's actually, I timed it 17 minutes and 32 seconds, which is unbelievable.
Amazing. All those fans.
17:38, actually.
He nearly walked. You easily could have walked around the bases faster than him.
But if you and see that, and that's why I love it so much, because if you know about the frustration that had built up in 76, 77, and 78, and what had led into 1980, and to finally do that there and shut that crowd up where you could hear a pin drop, and to him just nonchalantly
trot
around the bases. I mean, if you're a Royals fan, if you were watching that game back then in 1980, you never wanted that home run trot to end.
Outfield deep at every position now with George Brett at the plate. Set by Gossage. High drive and deep to right field. It is gone. Three-run home run by George Brett into the third tier of Yankee Stadium.
When UL beat out that infield hit, I was very happy that I was the next guy coming up. Gossage, I knew, would be throwing anywhere between 95 and 200 miles an hour, and I just went up to myself. I said to myself, hey, don't get cheated. Swing hard, swing quick, and try to pull the ball, and if you can, get it in the air. And I did all three, so I was very, very happy.
He didn't get cheated on that pitch.
No.
I can tell you that
between
right now.
95 and 200?
Right. He's right. It was. It was 100, so it was accurate.
So what did you watch besides the 3 minutes of that?
No, but... No,
you're in the bubble now. Let's get this.
No, I tried to watch some of it, but I thought it was bad. I just, you know.
The soccer?
Yes. Yeah. But also, I'm not to the point. Like, if it's sporting, I'll watch sporting. I support sporting. I support Matt Beasley. I support the hometown club. I'm not to the point where I enjoy MLS enough where I'm going to watch Orlando and Miami.
I'm not sure I'm to the point with Major League Baseball that I could watch a game between the Padres and Giants.
Well, I can if I have
six people on your fantasy
night,
league.
Rotisserie.
Yeah.
No, that's why maybe I should do rotisserie soccer. Is there such a thing?
Yeah. Hey, there's rotisserie everything.
Rotisserie chicken is something. But, chicken. You know, so yeah, Some I mean, Rogers I gave it a rookies? Shot. And it's like, it felt like this is a, and to be expected, like Jake said, but this isn't a great brand of soccer. And it's like, man, I don't care about either one of these teams.
It's going to be hard to watch some of these things, but like I said, I don't want to complain about what it looks like or what the play is like. I just want to be happy that it's there.
Do you want me to finish with my honesty or not?
100%. I want you to finish.
Jake? Do I worry about feelings or not?
Depends on what kind of mood you're in.
Bad.
Well,
you don't care.
Then you don't care.
Don't care.
It irritated me that Nate was tweeting so much about it and made me turn it off.
I don't care.
So I just felt like I was being. I feel like I'm continuously lectured by Nate to do things and to watch things, and it just. Lebo, I don't like to be told what to do. Haven't you realized that in two decades?
I have realized.
That's not the way to approach me.
Maybe you need to mute some tweets.
Maybe I did. Jake, you ain't going to say nothing. You're just going to sit there like a lump on a log.
I'm uncomfortable right now.
I was not looking at the Twitter a lot last night, so I wasn't getting the...
I saw the first one and I put my phone down.
Okay, so there you go. You're not going to say nothing, but you're going to say that, aren't you?
I think it said a lot.
I mean, that's all I'm going to say.
I put the phone down.
I put the phone down, and I turned the TV on, and I watched the game.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I watched that's a little right. of that. Then we watched
Cooked
a couple of Seinfelds, and I went to bed.
I was interested
some
in what's going on.
Spaghetti squash noodles.
In the inter-squad game.
When spaghetti squash is just regular.
You know, I'm
zucchini.
Not super interested in exactly
zucchini
what's
noodles.
Going on in an inter-squad game either.
I was studying Bobby Witt's swing like it was a Zapruder.
How is it?
I was like,
how is it?
Look good, got a hit. I mean, I was like, hey. I mean, that just says something about me. There's a real MLS game that counted, but then I'm trying to examine Bobby Witt's swing in an inter-squad game.
To Lebo's point is that, you know, there's...
Which means I'm a moron.
Well, no, it's not.
Not at all. You care about your hometown teams. You want to know what's going on with the Royals. Orlando.
I don't want to examine Alex Gordon's swing, but it's like Bobby Witt Jr. Hey, here's something new.
Well, he's a mystery
Bobby Witt
game one.
We haven't seen him.
2015.
I mean, all we've seen is a couple of high school highlights, and then him hitting... He had a video during the beginning of the COVID thing where he was hitting something out of a tennis court with a basketball goal. I mean, he's, you know, that's all you've really seen of Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, I was down at spring training and he wasn't over there. where we were. So I haven't seen much of him. I mean, we're going to have Buster only on in a little while. I'm still confident that we're going to have baseball. Now, we've had 3 positive tests for the Royals. I think they've said something like 66 positive tests or something around Major League Baseball, which means the Royals are right about on it, right? You know, that's
of the tests that have come back.
Yeah, they're getting back.
Okay.
I'm looking at a video right now. Bobby Witt Jr. single. Alec Lewis tweeted out. So there.
Find that Bobby Witt Jr. stuff from March or April when he was hitting baseballs in his backyard or something.
Joel Goldberg tweeted, Bobby Witt Jr. looks awfully smooth and comfortable at shortstop and third base.
So you're saying that he's going to be starting.
I'm saying that piqued my interest.
Sure it did. Peaked.
Alec Lewis said, MJ Melendez, Bobby Witt Jr., Khalil Lee, Sully Matias, and Eric Mejia all put a bunch of great swings on balls.
And we had a couple little minor injuries.
Well,
last night, Hunter Dozier.
So, oh, now here's the other thing, too. This is that Brady Swinger hit Hunter Dozier with a pitch.
Already starting.
Okay, what
it's starting.
Here?
It's starting.
But Mike Matheny, after the game, said he did not blame Brady Singer. He needs to pitch inside.
Sure he does. Did you description of what Nick Heath left the game with?
Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to be admonished for paying attention to inter-squad game because there's a lot of talking points came out of this. Okay, Brady Swinger is hitting Hunter Dozier with
Brady
a pitch. Brady Singer.
Ain't Swinger, no swinger, man.
But
Brady Singer hits,
I don't know.
Hits
how
with
do
a
you
pitch.
Know?
And then, of course, immediately, because, you know, you think about bad luck, or you think about, you know, okay, just everyone stay healthy, and you forget about, oh, they also have to play baseball and stay healthy. And like, oh, boy, watch, Hunter Dozier just broke his forearm or something because Singer hit him with a pitch. He was fine, it's bruised, whatever. And so then that happened. And then Nick Heath, who I've asked to be on this show, who I like, is a very speedy outfielder who led the minors in steals last year. He left the game with something that I experienced as I tweeted every morning when I tried to get out of bed. He left the game with a full body cramp.
Been there.
That does not sound good at all.
No, but, you know, just get yourself, some water and a banana, and you're fine.
A full body cramp. I mean, everything.
Well, they played this thing at
down
night
because
they wanted to kind of get out of the heat. Because Mike Matheny had said a couple days before, they was kind of looking at where the shadows were later in the day, and they were just trying to give these guys some relief from the heat that was happening. But it's, you know, it's all day. If you didn't hydrate yourself up, maybe you'll get the old FBC, full body cramp.
Now, see, now, Jake, you weren't paying attention. Did you know any of those things happen?
No.
Those are interesting things, aren't they?
Very. Full body cramps are always interesting.
A full body cramp with Nick Heath, Singer hitting Dozier with a pitch, Bobby Witt looking smooth. In the field and at the plate. See?
Full body cramps.
Don't mock me for paying attention to that.
We need to take a full body break here soon, Steven.
Well, at least there was a selection of things to watch.
Exactly.
But and then it ended up with me watching more of Tom Hardy and Peaky Blinders. So.
See?
Man, do I love that show. And then also I'm watching Unsolved Mysteries, the new Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix. And then have you seen the new documentary on HBO, I'll Be Gone in the Dark?
I'm going to watch that. We're waiting for it. Is it all there now?
Boy, no. I think it's 2 weeks in.
I'm going to maybe wait and watch it all at once.
We watched the first 2 episodes. Man, oh, man. I mean, some of it's tough to watch. It's pretty, I mean, graphic, but it is, well, you watch it and you're just your jaw hits the floor, and you watch that thing and all of a sudden, you know, an hour's passed. Okay, next episode. Yeah, I'm glad that it's not all available because we just sat there for 6 hours to watch the whole damn thing.
You need to sleep sometimes. This show starts at 6 in the morning.
It is so suspenseful, but it's just so but it's, you know, obviously terrible. It's very, very interesting. You can, I'm not going to get into what it's all about. You can Google it. But
Google it.
So we've got those 3 on rotation right now that we're trying to watch simultaneously. So I got a lot of options right now. I'm doing pretty well.
And sports is coming back.
And then I watched UFC Embedded to preview episode 1, and I watched Kamaru Usman take his test and then check into the facility and go into quarantine.
And of course, you watch KSHB News with Gary Lozak.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gary will be on this show. I try to save everything for his appearance at 8 o'clock on the Border Patrol. That'll be later on after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38th Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Todd Lebo with Jake Gutierrez. Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it. Here in a little bit, we're going to play some sound from Robin Harris, executive director of the Ivy League, and also the SEC commissioner, Greg Hanky Sankey, is what I believe they call him. We'll play the Robin Harris first, the last one first, is what I want to play, about the decision to move fall sports to 2021. Here, Robin Harris says what went into that decision to postpone fall sports to next year.
You know, it definitely wasn't any easier to make a second time because we had been through it once before. But we also know, again, that it's the right decision for our schools. And our presidents have been meeting and talking frequently. And a consistent theme throughout is they talked about how they were going to approach academics and campus life generally for the fall is obviously that our student-athletes should be treated like students and that our campus policies for campuses or, you know, for the student body generally are going to apply to athletics. So as the Ivy League schools started to announce the policies for campuses during the fall, it became clear as a result of the varying campus policies across our schools that competition in athletics just wasn't going to be feasible.
Now, she was also asked if there were other D1 conferences involved in the decision.
I, of course, am connected with the Division I commissioners. We meet regularly. We've been meeting a couple of times a week by Zoom and exchange information and meet with the NCAA. But throughout that process is a recognition that each conference is going to make decisions based on what's right for that conference.
I'll be honest with you, I got somewhat excited when I saw that we had clips from Robin Harris because I thought it was one of my favorite comedians of several years ago who passed away far too soon. Robin Harris, who, of course, brought us tremendous comedy, including Bebe's Kids.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys were fans of Robin Harris, but I think he is a vastly underrated stand-up comedian, and
do you remember, Stephen, his character's name in Do the Right Thing?
Well, what was it?
It was Big Something Willie, but I won't say what the something was.
But did you ever watch him stand up?
Oh my gosh,
he was hilarious.
It would be great. He would be an unbelievably great commissioner for the Ivy League if he were still alive.
Right. That's why I was so like, are they honoring him or just by playing some of his clips? Or like, what's going on here?
But no, the news of this is I'm not surprised. Listen, the Ivy League does not fit into the category of the other conferences that we talk about here, Big 12, SEC, right? Ivy League is Division I basketball. They do their things differently up there. They don't have Division I football, and it's just a different thing. So I don't think this is going to be the domino that everything falls with, in my opinion. I don't think that's the case. Like, everyone kind of fell in line when the NBA suspended play last year. I don't think that's what this is. I think the Ivy League operates in a different way, you know, and the sports just aren't as important in the Ivy League as they
are
here.
Not even close. Not even close. I mean, financially, I think I heard that the Ivy League, their revenue is going to be like $11 million each. And then you look at Ohio State, and it's over $150 million. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's run differently.
It's apples and oranges.
I do think it's smart to take notes on what smart people are doing.
That's for sure. That's true. But it's just not the important level. I think one of the things to watch, and we've seen this already at some schools, did you see last night Stanford announced you're getting rid of 11 sports? Now, when you see that, Stanford had 36 sports that kids are competing in. That is so many more sports than you'll see at like Kansas or Kansas State or Missouri, right? They have a lot. They do a bunch of sports. You're like, Oh, I didn't know they even had that. I didn't know that was a thing. Some of these sports, there's not even championships in, okay? But there were some real sports involved in this, like wrestling and I think men's volleyball, which, you know, we the Big 12 teams don't have men's volleyball.
Right.
Mostly it's a women's volleyball here, but they, I mean, that's an important thing to notice,
also,
that the money is disappearing from these places.
Take note, because
so they're gonna take
Stanford's
it away.
Endowment, $27.7 billion.
And there's a difference between having an endowment of that and what your athletic department does.
Some people are suggesting that Stanford wanted to do this anyway, and they're using
the
pandemic as an excuse.
There is a lot of excuses that the pandemic is getting used for around, maybe with different companies, different sports things. You know, it's a chance to do some things. I'm not saying everyone has the purest of ideals when they're doing some of these things, but that doesn't mean, that doesn't stink, the fact that there were 22 coaches and 250 kids. Now, like I'm telling you, this isn't like cutting football where every single one of those kids was on full scholarship, because they're not. Most of these didn't have scholarships at all. But there have already been instances of other, you know, Power Fives or smaller schools just eliminating a sport altogether. And so, this is kind of the part where, listen, the NCAA is I don't know if it's crumbling, but this all goes together with what's happening with the FBI stuff, with, you know, whatever's going to go down with college basketball, with the G League, and if some of these guys aren't going to come play at the schools, and the name, image, and likeness for all these things. It's all coming. This is not great timing for the NCAA and their member institutions to have COVID rolling around and eliminating some of these sports and having to maybe not play these games. Because in our little world we live in here, our Power Five bubble, if you're not playing football, your budget is in monstrous trouble in these two leagues that we care about. Huge trouble.
We will take a break, and when we come back, we'll play the comments from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Todd Lebo, and Jake Gutierrez. It's Thursday, July 9th, 2020, 6:39 in the a.m. Let's hear from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Is his nickname Hanky?
Mr. Sankey, the SEC.
Greg Hanky Sankey.
Like Mr. Hanky?
Yeah.
The Christmas poo?
Yeah. The SEC.
Greg Sankey says that the Ivy League's decision does not affect us.
I don't think that the announcement today is any inflection point for decision making. Now, when you look at what's happening from the trend line with virus testing, with hospitalizations, with supplies and treatments, those are the real inflection points for us.
Greg Sankey, he really captures your imagination, doesn't he, with his emotion? Greg's such a jerk. Greg Sankey, what? What are you laughing for?
It's fine.
Don't you start me giggling.
No.
Now, Todd.
We won't.
They'll separate us. You want that?
No.
It's happened before, hasn't it?
It has.
Do you remember where it happened?
It wasn't in Miami. We were never separated down there.
The two places where we were told we needed to be separated. Charlie Bache.
I haven't gotten a private meeting.
We were at Chiefs press conference, and someone got up the microphone and told us that not the Charlie Batch press conference had become the Charlie Bache. And that we,
I'll be happy to do that in a private meeting.
We were so immature that we laughed and we had to separate ourselves. And then the other one was when we got into a giggle fit when we were doing the show from a hotel room in River Falls, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I was laying in bed doing the show because I was tired.
I passed a kidney stone that night.
Well,
why wouldn't I?
An eventful night.
Big night.
In River Falls, Wisconsin. Okay, here's more from Greg Sankey. Greg Sankey was asked when the big decisions have to be made.
You get to about a week before the start of practice, and that's when the conversations are going to become very much focused on time frame. But the ability to see the NFL start training camps. If you think about what's happening in the month of July, you're going to have Major League Baseball start playing and start traveling. NBA is going to be in their bubble, but they're going to be scrimmaging. You're going to have fans at a NASCAR race, I think, if things continue, probably next week. You're going to have NFL training camps start up. And so we're going to be able to learn even more, and hopefully we can overcome some of the problematic trends we've seen in public health. And that allows us, as you get into late July, early August, to engage in the next level of decision-making, it seems.
And then finally, Greg Sankey says, optimism is not reality.
I want to be optimistic, but the reality is publicly, we have to discipline ourselves to remain healthy as a culture. And that relates to some of the behaviors we've seen that have caused the spread to accelerate. And I've been optimistic, but I'm prepared that optimism is not reality.
Okay, so that was Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC. One more college football clip I want to play is Jim Harbaugh, who says, he says a lot of different things. And the best tweet that I saw last night that made me laugh out loud was someone said that Jim Harbaugh is trying to contact coronavirus to schedule a home-and-home so they can settle this like men. And I don't think that's possible, Todd.
I'll tell you what, one of the most interesting meals of my life, dinner with Jim Harbaugh at Lake Tahoe several years ago.
Yes, I was there.
Incredible.
Was, right? Remember the whole story about how he said he wanted to be the head coach of Kansas?
Yeah. We were going to name his kid for him. He had a new kid coming.
Right.
We spent 20 minutes coming up with weird names for his kid.
And by the way, Jake, that's how we know he was going to take the Kansas job, because he told us that at dinner, in case you ever wondered if that was true. So make sure.
What? I've never heard that story before.
Your disappointment is warranted when it comes to that.
Are you sure?
Things have been fine.
He said that?
And you know what? Like Todd said, things have been fine. How would it have been any better?
How would it have affected anything?
That's the first time I've ever heard of that story.
How could he have improved on what?
He couldn't have. He probably gone there for 1 year and then left. And
following the 2009 season,
on
the heels of Mark Mangino, everything has been fine.
Pretty much.
He may have won more games in that one season than Kansas has total since then.
Not that many. They've won like 11 games since then.
Oh, have they? KU football.
Okay,
it's so hard to do. It's so hard to do.
One half.
Let's make fun of KU football because it's so hard. It's such a hard thing to do.
It's not. Jim Harbaugh.
You're wrong, Jake. It's not that hard.
I think it's hard.
Well, you're way off base on all this stuff.
No.
Jim Harbaugh, Jake?
No.
He's the one that brought up the dinner with Jim Harbaugh.
It's my fault.
And let me tell you, it was a delightful dinner.
Yeah. Sounds like
I can't remember what we were going to name this kid.
I can't imagine why wouldn't have been delightful. The guy told you he was going to go coach at your rival school, and then he was not allowed to.
You know what? The reason it was delightful is because he was open and honest, and we talked about.
I spent more time talking to him about the Sun Bowl.
It's great,
right? Toby Gearhart, Landry Jones put it on him. We talked a lot about that.
That's why. It was so great. Here's Jim Harbaugh on college football returning with COVID-19 as a major concern.
But COVID is part of our society. Wasn't caused by football or caused by sports. And there's no expert view right now that I'm aware of, or that are agreeing expert views that sports. It's going to make that worse. It's part of our society. We're going to have to deal with it. And these kids got to have to do the same thing. They've got to go to school. They've been training their whole lives for the opportunity to play their sport. And that's my view with the knowledge that we have and time to learn more about it. It would be my responsibility, our responsibility, and the players' responsibility also, keep themselves safe, and also, get the schooling and the training that they need.
This is complicated stuff, Stephen, is what this is. This, University of Michigan has 50,000 students, and it's in the town that's in Michigan, and the kids are coming from all over, and, if you're playing Division I football out in California, it's another thing. If you're playing Division I football in Texas, it's another thing. These are complicated deals. I think complicated issues have solutions. They may not be what you want. They may not be the way you like it. But nothing has been quote-unquote normal in the last 5 months. So if there's a will, there's a way to kind of get this stuff figured out. But the difference with college athletics in these universities, there's probably a real fear of some sort of repercussion in the legal side if someone gets sick and they've been put in a spot where they're not safe. And that is, I think, one of the fears that's out there for these institutions.
That's Todd Lebo. I'm Stephen St. John. We'll be right back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Thank you very much for joining us. Coming up on the show, we are going to talk to Buster Olney, our baseball insider from ESPN. That's next, just in a few minutes at 7 o'clock. And Gary Lezak can give us a forecast just before 8. We've got J.J. Piccolo on the show. We could ask him about Bobby Witt Jr. and how he's looked.
Yeah.
All right? That's what I want. And Brady Singer.
Ask him if he's ever had a full body cramp.
Right. I've got one right now. Also, James Krause, the James Krause. Who is? What's the time difference?
8 hours
in Abu Dhabi.
He is 8 hours. So they'll be
ahead.
Yeah, it'll be 4:30.
Afternoon. Yeah.
Right. Nice. And I've been texting with him. He woke up yesterday at 3 p.m. He went to bed at 8 a.m. And he's like, I'm struggling.
Don't know where I am.
I was like, hey, just get right in the next 24 hours. Then we'll have you on the show.
It's only like 7 or 8 minutes long, but episode 1 of UFC Embedded leading up to this weekend's pay-per-view card was really interesting because it showed some of the process they're going through, the testing and then quarantining before they can fly over there. But, you know, I don't fly as much as Jake does or really as anyone. I'm not big on planes. But the airplane that some of the fighters were flying over on, my God. I'd like to live in there.
Yeah.
Little compartments with a door. You go in, you sit down. It's like an easy chair and delicious foods and the screen and everything else. It's like almost like a luxury office cubicle with a relaxing leather chair.
Yep, the seats are very cheap.
And they were all in like Rose Nama Yunus. They gave her some pajamas and she kept them. She goes, he's nicer than most of my clothes. And and all the fighters, it was so funny. Like, it was Paige VanZant and Max Holloway and Rose. They're like, they're like geeking out like we would. Like, this is the nicest plane we've ever been.
Did you seat warmers on their plane?
Did it remind you of us flying back from the Super Bowl and the Wi-Fi not working? And
it does not.
No?
And how mad I was because I was trying to watch
the Super Bowl.
I was trying to watch a replay of the Super Bowl
a
day later.
This Wi-Fi's not working. And then I would turn my Wi-Fi on my phone just to try to take more of the bandwidth.
Which band are you with?
You tell me.
It was still one of the best flights ever because what percent was Chiefs fans that have been down at the Super Bowl?
Lots. Lots percent.
95%.
What did you eat in the airport in Atlanta? Do you remember?
Hot dog.
Yes, you got a hot dog.
Well, a hot dog and a hamburger.
Yeah, both. Why would you have just one?
I was so excited when I saw there was a Varsity hot dog kiosk.
It was one of the best hot dogs I ever had.
At that moment, it was. I was still celebrating a championship, and a hot dog sounded and then tasted so good just hours after a Super Bowl championship. So, yep.
You haven't been on a plane since?
Nah.
Barely been in a car since.
Neither have I.
I flew out to Royals spring training back. Yeah. I've been on a plane since.
Although, I was scheduled to go to Lake Tahoe this year for the American Century Golf Championship, and you could have heard me MFing. Susan got mad because she says I act ridiculous when I found out that Canelo Alvarez is there this year.
And now you're not.
Mother effer. Maybe he'll be back next year. Oh, my God. I would have jumped in his arms and broke his back. Back after this on WHB. Thank you so much for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues right now. with Buster Olney from ESPN up next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.